I want you to know something, Jesus said. When you gather together, you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses everywhere. You will become complete and courageous because of me, because I'm going to give you my Spirit. And by my Spirit, you're going to be guided. You're going to be sealed. You're going to be empowered. You're going to rise above the level of your human mediocrity. You're going to be enabled even in the context of your own fears, your fears of being intimidated, your fears of being isolated, your fears of inadequacy, the paralysis you feel. How do I answer this? What do I say when people say? How do I live in my world today? How do I relate? How do I operate in a country where prayer is banned everywhere I go? How do I say anything about Jesus when I become immediately the source of someone's anger and wrath? How do I stand up for my faith? I've got a crisis of faith. Do I believe that God is exactly who God says He is? And do I have all that is necessary to make a difference in my world for the Lord Jesus Christ?
That wonderful voice, that unique South African brogue, is from Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, former seminary professor, pastor, my pastor for the last 25 years, but more than that, a man passionate for loving God and loving God's people and helping us understand God's word better. Today, we'll be going to the story of Esther, digging a little bit deeper in a message Dr. Wilton's called Finding Your Story in the Story. It's a part of all these teachings that just help us know that God loves you and has a plan for you. We're using this radio broadcast to remind you of that, and I pray you know that we're here for you. If you'd like to pray, we're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Right now, I want you to find your story in the story. Let me just run that by again. I'm praying that you're going to find your story in the story. I'm going to ask two of my very dear friends to join me. Steve, would you bring your wife Lucy up here? And I've got a chair for you reserved right over here, and I'm going to tell you all about them, because Lucy has found her story in the story. Now, I'm going to make a radical statement here today. You and I, every time we open the Bible, every word you read in God's word is a word for you and for me. There are no exceptions. Nobody's left out. It's one of the things that I love about being a Christian. That's why I want to invite you to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this Jesus, whom we read about in the story, died for you and for me and for all people. There are no exceptions. It's the most wonderful story ever. And your story is in the story. My life verse for Don is Genesis 12, 1 through 4. God said to Abram, get up and go. And in verse 4, Abram got up and went. Now, God spoke to me and to my wife, Karen. We have found our story in God's story. We are studying today the life of Esther. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Esther. It's very important that you see this in the Bible. And what we're going to look at today is your story in the story. And I believe with all of my heart that there are going to be people today that are all of a sudden the fog is going to lift. You're going to suddenly be set free.
You're going to all of a sudden, by the power of God, discover something that you may not fully have understood about yourself. So I'm going to ask a question before I invite you to look with me in just a moment at Esther chapter 8. This is what I'm going to ask you. What is it that you are or have been encountering in your life? Have you been diagnosed with a disease? Do you have cancer like Lucy? This precious lady here has got cancer. In fact, just last week, they found some more. What have you got? I got such good news for you. Is it something to do with your marriage? Is it something to do with your children? Is it your work? Are you going through a lot of pain right now? I'm praying for you because your story is in the story. And God is going to show you something remarkable. What we are studying in the story today is almost hard to really come to grips with. I have opened my Bible to the book of Esther. And Esther is the name of an individual lady, just like Lucy. I've told you about Lucy Sizemore just a little bit. This is her husband, my very good friend Steve. Love him so much. Esther is a lady. And this is the story about her. And she had things pretty tough for a long time and had no idea where it was all going to end up. I want to just read to you where it all ended up before I tell you how they got there. So watch this, a few verses in Esther, and I'm going to be in chapter 8 and verse 15. Then Mordecai, by the way, Mordecai was like her uncle, took care of her, really in many ways adopted her. This is the story of someone who adopted, took over the care of someone, loved them enough. I love talking about adoption. It's an incredible thing. We've got many in our church who have adopted and are in the process of adoption. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king, this is the end of the story, in royal robes of blue and white and with a great golden crown and a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced. By the way, the city of Susa was in Persia. And for a man like Mordecai, he was in a strange foreign land. You see, Mordecai was a Jew, but he was a Jew in disguise. He didn't want anybody to know that he was a Jew, because living in Persia in those days would have been awfully dangerous among those people if in fact they knew exactly who he was. And in fact, he even told Esther, his charge, that she too had to live in disguise. So I want you to just think, we've got two people masquerading, living undercover. Verse 16, the Jews had light and gladness and honor and joy, and in every province and in every city, wherever the king's commandment and his edict reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews and a feast and a holiday, and many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews for fear of the Jews had fallen on them. Boy, that was a turn of events. By the way, I'm reading to you what the product was. I'm reading to you about things that Lucy does not know as she sits here. But she believes, but she doesn't know. Lucy has got cancer. She believes because she has surrendered, but she doesn't know. It's one thing to know when you get to wherever it is God is going to take you, but it's an altogether different thing to actually experience what you're going through without knowing. The hard part is to just believe. Now, I want you to watch this. Let's go to, for example, chapter 9 and verse 29. chapter 9, verse 29. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail Mordecai the Jew, gave full written authority confirming this second letter about Purim, which was a feast. Letters were sent to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, which is the kingdom of Artaxerxes, in the words of peace and truth, and these days of Purim should be observed at their appointed seasons, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them to do, as they obligated themselves and their offspring with regard to their fasts and their lamenting. The command of Queen Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in the writing. Now watch this. Look at chapter 10. King Artaxerxes imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the acts of his power and might, and the full account of the high honor of Mordecai. Good grief, this is the same man who sat at the gate in sackcloth and ashes, crying out for fear of his life. This is the same man. This is the same man who was diagnosed with cancer, who was experiencing fear, who was going through all the emotional uprooting. This was the same man who had that son that he was praying for morning, noon, and night that just never seemed to come around. He was the same man who was having problems in all these different zones of his life, this journey. And the Bible says in verse 3, Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Artaxerxes, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. There are three things I want you to take away today, just three things. Number one, that God's story is absolutely truthful. That's what I want you to take home with you today. First of all, Lucy, I'm saying this to you, and I know this to be true. I want you to be reminded that God's story is absolutely truthful. Boy, that's a promise, isn't it? Every word here is absolutely truthful. Number two, God's word is amazingly powerful. That's the second thing I want you to take away. There is no power that can ever rival the power of God spoken for you, in you, and through you. That's the story. And thirdly, God's story is your story. God's story is your story. So watch this. Watch this. What about this, Esther? There were a lot of questions. Let me give you a couple of questions, and you can take a walk through the whole book of Esther. Let me give you a couple of questions. Why was Xerxes the king to begin with? Why did Xerxes call an incredible banquet together? Why? Why did he have a queen called Vashti, V-A-S-H-T-I, Vashti, who was supposed to come when the king summoned her, but she refused to come and she paid an incredible price? Why? How could you figure that out? How did that happen? Why, when God spoke to the Jews who were in exile in Persia, as we heard last week, why did only some of them go back to Israel to rebuild the temple? Why did some of the Jews not go back to Jerusalem? Why did some of them remain in exile in Persia, amongst whom were Mordecai and Esther? Why? Why did they masquerade as Persians? Why did they live in disguise? Anyone got a good reason for that? Why? Why? Why did they do this, Steve? Why? Why did the king summon Esther and these other young ladies to the palace and select her to be queen? Why did Haman, H-A-M-A-N, you can read about him in chapter 3, why did Haman rise up to become the second most powerful person to the king? And the man who became the second most powerful to the king was an absolute rascal. This man was a criminal. This guy was vicious. He was an ancient Adolf Hitler. This guy was as low as the scourge of the scum of the earth. Because this man, Haman, had it in his mind, watch this, to institute an ancient Holocaust what took place in 1940s in Germany at Auschwitz and Dachau pales into insignificance even compared to what Haman wanted to do to the Jews. He wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth. Why did Haman become the right arm of King Xerxes?
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he's got so much more to come. Please don't go away. But he insists I remind you, we're available. We're available keyboard to keyboard on our website. If you'd like to speak or talk or pray, theencouragingword.org is where we live on the web. That's theencouragingword.org. But we also still find this phone in your hand. It's not just a texter. It's not just a place to search online. It's a wonderful conversation piece. Would you like to speak with someone, have someone pray with you right now? We're ready to connect. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. We're here 24 hours a day, not just during this broadcast. And it's one of my joys to take calls on occasion and be able to pray with you about what God stirred in your heart. Perhaps we're listening and hearing about the story of Esther, but God is speaking to you about an area of course correction, of adjustment that you need to make to be more in the center of God's will. Let us pray you through those steps. 866-899-9673. And let me add one of those great steps. It's an easy thing to do. You can sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Wilton right now. You can do it on our website at theencouragingword.org. If you're on the go, just text the word DAILY to 30500. That's right, just one word, DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link. You can sign up, and by this time tomorrow, you'll be receiving the Daily Encouraging Word email, a wonderful way to jumpstart your quiet time every day from all of your friends here at The Encouraging Word.
I started receiving your daily guide as a birthday gift. I have been so blessed and moved by the daily word. It's as if this devotional was tailor-made especially for me. I, in turn, gave a donation and signed my niece up to receive it. She called me in tears, saying, "Aunt Barbara, God is speaking to me personally. Every word has given me hope. Thank you for this ministry."
Now let's dive back into today's teaching. It's called Find Your Story in The Story with Dr. Don Wilton.
Why did the Jews have to go through all this suffering? You must remember they heard about the edict. They set the day, the time. They were going to go and obliterate the Jewish nation. By the way, do you know how they obliterated them? Amongst many other things, you read about it, it's awful. They would put poles up and they would impale people on those poles. That was one of their methods of execution. Just awful. I can't even describe that. And these Jews knew what was going to await them. Their children were going to be killed and their homes taken away. They were going to be eliminated. Why did they have to go through that pain? Now, you and I are looking at it because we know the end of the story. We say, "Oh, well, it didn't happen." But they didn't know that. So why did Queen Esther call a banquet? Why did Queen Esther do what she did? Why did Mordecai sit at the gate in sackcloth and ashes? Why did Mordecai call out to the Lord his God? Why did he counsel Esther to just simply surrender herself to the voice of God? Why? Well, we know why. Because God had a plan all the time to redeem his people. The verse that I want you to hold in your heart today is Romans 8 and verse 28. It goes like this. We know that God is working all things together for the good of those that love him and to those who are the called according to his purpose. We know, Paul said, that God is working all things together. What all things? King Xerxes, Ashti, the queen, Haman, the Holocaust, Mordecai, Esther, the masquerade, the pain, the suffering, the diagnoses, the journey, the sewer, the thought, the fear. God is working all things together for the good of those that love him, to those who are the called, Lucy, according to his purpose. Tell us about your journey, Lucy. What's going on? What is God doing? You've been diagnosed with cancer, and Steve, you come in at any time you choose. What tell us about it? We want to just listen to your story in these stories.
Well, it started when I was 17. I had a tumor come up in my nose, and the doctors here didn't know much about it. It's a form of chondrosarcoma called mesenchymal chondrosarcoma. And so we went to the Mayo Clinic to be treated early on. And I can remember the very first oncologist appointment that I had. It was with Dr. Edmondson, and my mother's smiling about it because we remember him fondly. He was a no-nonsense kind of doctor, very frank bedside manner, and he looked at us. My parents and I were in the room with him, and he said, "This is very rare, and you should know that it's going to be a really long, hard journey. You're going to be very sick. The treatment's going to make you vomit, and you're going to lose your hair." And somewhere in there, he used the word ugly. And yeah. And then he looked at my parents and he said, "You need to prepare yourselves that she won't live to see her 18th birthday." But clearly God had a plan, because here I am and I'm 37 and 20 years has passed. So, you know, God is good in that regard. But he was right. The journey was hard for a while. And for the next 4 years, we struggled with cancer. It grew up my face and my forehead, and I had lots of different surgeries through it, but it came to that point where it was done, and they used the word cured. And so for 11 years, cancer was not in our vocabulary. And Steve and I met, and we got married, and we were raising our boys, and things were really good. And while we're having that lull period of just living life, for our time together, like anniversaries or Christmas or whatnot, instead of buying presents for each other, we would go on trips. And we always seemed to wind up in New York. I don't really know why. There was just something about the city.
Didn't understand that.
Yeah, it was just something about the city.
Why
that...
New York? Why New York? I mean, all places. Who wants to go to New York?
We did, apparently.
Right?
Yeah. And we loved it. And so, you know, whenever that opportunity would come about where we could take a vacation together, we would look at other places, but ultimately we would always go back to New York. And one of Steve's cousins had a business rate at the Courtyard Marriott on 53rd and 3rd. And so we ended up staying there, and we loved it. It felt like home to us. So that kind of brings us up to 3 years ago. I was upstairs teaching Wednesday night Bible study with Angela Springsteen. I was teaching the sixth grade girls. And I had an itch underneath my collar. So I just reached underneath my necklace and I scratched, and there was a knot in my shoulder. And I knew right then what it was. And I asked Angela Springsteen if she would step outside with me. And I just said, "I just need you to be praying about this." And so I prayed all the way home, and Steve and I talked about it. And the next day we went and saw an oncologist here in town, and we had not been to any oncologist in years. And so even the person who God got us to there was very pivotal in our journey.
From New York.
She was from New York, and she got us involved with scans, and we saw a thoracic surgeon who removed the tumor, and she called us back in for a checkup, and she said, "I got to tell you the results. It is cancer. It's exactly what you had, and there's some residue left, and we don't have enough experience here with it to really help you. You need to go somewhere else."
Powerful story. You know, we have to stop for right now, but we've got so much more. Matter of fact, this week you'll be hearing more from Dr. Wilton on finding our story in the story. But perhaps the first finding is just knowing that you know Jesus. If you'd like to talk with someone, our phone number is available 24 hours a day. We'd love to have you call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or you can meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Dr. Wilton has perhaps the most important message that we have for all of us today coming up next.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus. And I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Again, if the Lord is speaking to you through this wonderful South African brogue of Dr. Don Wilton, our pastor, I pray you'd respond, that we wouldn't let this day pass here in the middle of the week without taking the steps necessary to draw the line in the sand. You need to tell somebody if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, and why not tell Dr. Don? You can email him, Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. He would love to hear your story. Maybe it's about giving your heart to Christ. Maybe it's about how God's using these broadcasts to strengthen your walk in Him. Again, Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. Or give us a call. We'd love to hear about it right now. Speak with us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Oh, and before we get away, another thought from Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
Once more, that number is 866-899-WORD. That's what Dr. Wilton was talking about. That's the number to call, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org, and join us again tomorrow for more encouragement from God's Encouraging Word.
You know, these are such special times together. I'm so grateful, my friends, that we can worship together like this through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry, and you're such a vital part of all that God's doing, and I just love you, and I want you to know that. You know, this ministry goes on 24 hours round the clock all the time. We want to be involved in your life, and we want to continue to pray for you. You can call us at any time. You can partner with us all the time through prayer and through your giving. We know that you are 100% engaged, as we are, in sharing God's truth with our searching world. That's what this is all about. We need Jesus, don't we? And God is doing a great work. And I love you today. Thank God for you. Pray for you. God bless you.
You guys have been a great inspiration to me. And I just wanted to call and say that you guys have lifted my heart. Every time I listen to you, Dr. Wilton, you brought me out of so many times when I felt down. And I just want to thank you so much. And I'll be listening again. Thank you.